Lesson 38, Be Ye Clean. Purpose, to help class members understand the importance of being morally clean. Preparation. 1. Prayerfully study Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 2 Nephi chapter 28, verse 8, and verses 20 to 22. Moroni chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. The Doctrine and Covenants, section 98, verse 11, and section 133, verse 5, and the 13th Article of Faith. 2. Additional reading. A. For the Strength of Youth, 34285. You may want to consult the bishop about obtaining copies of this pamphlet for class members who do not have one. B. Two addresses given by Elder Richard G. Scott, Making the Right Choices. Conference Report, October 1994, pages 49 through 53, or Ensign, November 1994, pages 37 through 39. And Do What Is Right, Ensign, June 1997, pages 51 through 55. 3. Prepare a snapping turtle trap. Pound nails into a 2-foot-long piece of board at 3 or 4 inch intervals. Bend the head of each nail at a 90-degree angle. If it is not feasible to prepare this trap, draw a picture of it on the chalkboard. You will need help with this chart as found on page 221 of the inkprint manual. 4. Materials needed. A. A chart containing the 13th Article of Faith. Make your own or use chart 65013 from the Meeting House Library. B. A set of scriptures and a scripture marking pencil for each class member. Continue to encourage class members to bring their own scriptures to class each week. Note to the teacher. For youth, there are few challenges as important, as difficult, or as far-reaching as staying morally clean. Satan is walking among our youth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Use tact and sensitivity as you help class members understand that sexual intimacy is a gift from God that can bring great fulfillment and pleasure, but must be used within the guidelines God has established. He has instructed us that this intimacy should take place only within marriage. Satan tries to convince us that this gift can be used freely, but following his temptations will bring regret, pain, sorrow, and destruction. Page 222. Teach class members about the happiness and peace of mind that can be theirs if they stand firm against Satan and keep the Lord's standards of moral cleanliness. You may want to take 2 weeks to teach this lesson. If you teach the entire lesson in 1 week, discuss the media and clothing only briefly, or focus on the parts of the lesson you feel are most necessary for your class. Suggested lesson development. Chastity is a precious gift. Quotation and discussion. Read the following statement by President Spencer W. Kimball. May I talk to you just a moment or two about that which is most dear and precious above all things? Can you think what it would be? Would it be bonds, stocks, or diamonds? Would it be herds or flocks? Would it be automobiles and houses? Would it be medals in athletics? What do you think President Kimball is talking about? Allow class members a few moments to respond, then continue the statement. It cannot be purchased with money, but may be enjoyed by all, even those of humble circumstances as well as the affluent, as much by the high school student as by those who have doctor's degrees. That of which I speak is chastity and virtue. Conference Report, Sydney, Australia Area Conference, 1976, page 54. What is chastity? Help class members understand that being chaste means keeping the Lord's standard of moral or sexual cleanliness. Heavenly Father has commanded that we abstain from any kind of sexual intimacy before marriage and be completely faithful to our spouse after marriage. He has also commanded us to avoid immoral forms of entertainment and to keep our thoughts pure. President Kimball stated that chastity is more important than money, possessions, or awards. Why do you think he felt so strongly about chastity? Scripture story and discussion. Point out that the Scriptures contain many examples of people who understood the importance of chastity. One of these people was Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers and became the servant of Potiphar, a prosperous Egyptian. See Genesis chapters 37 and 39. Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 12. Have class members read. Explain that Joseph knew the Lord's standard of chastity and recognized that Potiphar's wife was trying to persuade him to violate that standard. See Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. What did Joseph do when his chastity was threatened? See chapter 39, verse 12. What did he risk by doing this? Explain that Joseph had held a high position in Potiphar's household. However, when Potiphar's wife lied about the incident and said Joseph had made improper advances to her, Joseph was thrown into prison. Genesis chapter 39, verses 13 through 20. Why do you think Joseph was willing to risk so much in order to stay chaste? Ask class members to think about the following questions without answering them out loud. What would you have done in a similar situation? How important is chastity to you? We must resist Satan's temptations. Object lesson. Display the snapping turtle trap, or refer to the drawing on the chalkboard. What do you think this object might be? After class members have had a chance to respond, explain that it is a trap to catch snapping turtles. Give the following information in your own words. Delicious soup can be made from the meat of snapping turtles. However, these turtles are very smart and very mean, so they are difficult to catch. When they are in the water, they can use their beak-like mouths to steal the bait used to lure them without even touching the hook holding the bait. In the water, they are safe and in control. If you can lure them out of the water, however, they are easier to catch. Hold up one end of the trap so that the bent nails are pointing upward. If you put raw meat on the top of this trap and set the bottom end of the trap in the water, the turtle will smell the meat and climb up the trap to eat it. When you move toward the trap, the turtle, sensing the danger, will pull into his shell and try to slide back into the water, but its shell will catch on one of the nails and it will be stuck. Then you can take it home and make it into turtle soup. Explain that a man who fished for snapping turtles compared the turtle's safety in the pond to our safety in the gospel. Then he made the following statement. Television, movies, magazines, and other media of our day scream out that good times are associated with immorality, alcohol, and violence. Some seemingly good kids in your school may smoke marijuana and use drugs. The attractive young man and woman in beer commercials seem to be having fun. It's bait, just like the smelly meat on the plank in my Georgia pond. This bait can be used to trick and betray you. If we allow ourselves to be tricked into leaving our safety of the church and gospel, we may also be trapped. You simply cannot afford to take the risk of becoming turtle soup. Ron Whipple, Catch a Snapping Turtle, New Era, July 1996, pages 26 and 27. Discussion. Why does a turtle climb up on the trap? Point out that the turtle is seeking something desirable, food. In other circumstances, it would be good for the turtle to eat the food. In this case, however, the food is being improperly offered, and it results in death to the turtle. Similarly, sexual pleasure is not inherently bad, but when sought in the wrong circumstances, in any situation outside of marriage, it becomes destructive and can result in spiritual death. Explain that when Satan designs bait to lure us into improper behavior, he is very subtle. He does not begin by immediately tempting us to commit serious sins. Instead, he tempts us into seemingly innocent thoughts and activities that can easily lead to more serious sins. 2 Nephi chapter 28, verse 8, and verses 20 to 22. What are some kinds of bait that Satan uses to lure us into immorality? Answers may include immodest clothing, unclean movies or television programs, dirty jokes, and immoral music. Satan uses the media to lure us into immorality. Quotation and teacher presentation. Explain that some of Satan's bait comes through the media. Read the following statement from The Strength of Youth. If you have brought copies for class members, have them follow along on page 11. Whatever you read, listen to, or watch makes an impression on you. Public entertainment and the media can provide you with much positive experience. They can uplift and inspire you, teach you good and moral principles, and bring you closer to the beauty this world offers. But they can also make what is wrong and evil look normal, exciting, and acceptable. Point out that many popular movies, television programs, books, magazines, and music reflect the world's standards, which are very different from the Lord's standards. Not only do worldly standards promote the use of alcohol, tobacco, and violence, they incorrectly suggest that sexual intimacy should be available to anyone at any time. Media that promote worldly standards usually fail to show the physical and spiritual harm that comes from breaking God's commandments. Quotation. Have a class member read the following statement by President Gordon B. Hinckley. There are storms blowing around you. There is the clever exploitation of sex and violence to be seen on television and through videotapes, pornographic magazines, long-distance telephone services, and even the Internet. My plea to you is to distance yourself from these things. You can change the channel on the TV set. You can shun like a plague the renting or acquisition of videotapes designed to titillate and lead you into regrettable paths. You don't have to read sleazy literature of any kind. It will not help you. It will only injure you. True to the Faith, End the Sign, June 1996, page 4. Discussion. Have you ever said or heard someone else say, "This movie is okay because it only has one bad scene," or, "I like the music, but I never listen to the words"? What is wrong with these justifications for watching or listening to immoral things? Point out that even a small amount of evil can affect us negatively by making us temporarily unable to feel the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Accepting a small amount of evil will also make us more susceptible to greater evil. If we watch movies with just one bad scene, we will become less concerned about movies with several bad scenes and will accept more immorality and evil into our lives. When we listen to music, even if we do not consciously notice the lyrics, our subconscious minds may be listening to them and recording them in our memory. How can you make sure that the movies, television shows, music, books, magazines, and other media that influences you are reflective of the Lord's standards rather than the world's? Moroni chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Have class members read and discuss that passage of Scripture, what these verses teach about how to evaluate what is good and what is evil. Then display the chart containing the 13th article of faith and refer to the last sentence, which can help us in our selection of movies, music, and other media. Help class members understand that we should do more than just avoid evil. We are instructed to forsake all evil, but at the same time to cleave unto all good. Doctrine and Covenants, section 98, verse 11. The 13th article of faith says that we should seek after good things, make an effort to find them, study them, and discover their beauty. We should shun media that do not meet the Lord's standards, but we should also seek out media that support the Lord's standards. Invite class members to tell about ways they have sought out and found worthy movies, music, books, and other media. Satan uses fashion to lure us into immorality. Quotation. Explain that another way Satan lures us into immoral behavior is by encouraging us to wear immodest clothing. Have a class member read the following statement from For the Strength of Youth. If you brought copies for class members, have them follow along on page 8. Servants of God have always counseled his children to dress modestly, to show respect for him and for themselves. Because the way you dress sends messages about yourself to others and often influences the way you and others act. You should dress in such a way as to bring out the best in yourself and those around you. Story and discussion. To illustrate the point that how a person dresses affects how he or she behaves, tell the following story in your own words. a coach of a professional sports team was very disturbed by the actions and language of team members when they were traveling by chartered airplane to their various destinations. They harassed the flight attendants, threw food, and yelled the length of the airplane to one another. The airlines had a difficult time getting flight attendants that would work when this team was flying. After much thought, the coach came up with a solution. From that point on, the team members were required to wear a suit, tie, and dress shoes when traveling, instead of the casual attire they had been allowed to wear before. Their behavior improved greatly. It seemed that when they were dressed like gentlemen, they behaved like gentlemen. Flight attendants even began requesting to work on flights chartered by this team. What helped the team members improve their behavior? How does your behavior change depending on what you are wearing? How do you act when you are wearing your oldest, dirtiest clothes? How do you act when you're wearing your Sunday best? Explain that when we wear immodest clothing, clothing that is too short or too tight, or that draws inappropriate attention to our bodies, we may begin to think and act immodestly as well. Point out that how we dress also affects those around us. Immodest clothing may encourage those who see us to pay too much attention to our bodies. It may also lead them to believe untrue things about our standards and our behavior. Discussion. You may need to point out that the styles that are most fashionable are not always modest. Ask class members for suggestions on what they can do when the clothing that is currently fashionable is immodest. Help them understand that sometimes fashionable styles can be modified so that they are modest. For example, a skirt can be lengthened, or a shirt can be made out of a similar but heavy fabric. If the styles cannot be modified, however, we should always choose modesty over fashion. Read again the statement from page 8 of For the Strength of Youth, as found on page 225. How can you show your respect for God and for yourself by the way you dress? How can you dress in such a way as to bring about the best in yourself and those around you? Satan appeals to natural desires to lure us into immorality. Teacher presentation. Present the following information in your own words, being sensitive to the maturity level of the members in your class. Some 12- and 13-year-olds are very interested in members of the opposite sex and need guidance in forming appropriate relationships with them, while others of the same age may be uninterested or even embarrassed by the suggestion of interest in the opposite sex. Physical attraction to members of the opposite sex is natural and normal. Heavenly Father has given us these feelings, but He has also instructed us to control them until the appropriate time and circumstance for expressing them. To help control these feelings, church leaders have counseled youth not to date until they are at least 16 years old. Some physical expressions of affection may be appropriate in dating situations, but they should be reserved for specially selected people at the proper time in your life, not indulged in casually. These expressions are not appropriate before you are old enough and mature enough to date properly. Other expressions of affection are only appropriate with your spouse after you are married. These expressions include sexual intercourse and any actions that lead to it, such as intense kissing, touching other parts of another person's body under their clothing, or touching another person's private parts on top of or underneath their clothing. A good rule of thumb is that any thoughts or actions that increase your interest in or desire for another person's body are inappropriate. These thoughts and actions are sinful outside of the marriage relationship. Remind class members that if they have already participated in inappropriate behavior, they should talk with the bishop. He can counsel them about how to repent. If class members have concerns about what is or is not appropriate, encourage them to talk privately with their parents or the bishop. Joy awaits the pure. Story and discussion. Point out that keeping the Lord's standards of moral cleanliness will not necessarily make us popular, but it will lead us toward eternal happiness, which is much more valuable than the approval of the world. Tell the following story in your own words. Hal had always done his best to serve the Lord. He tried to keep the commandments and do what the Lord would have him do. Sometimes this was not easy. Many of Hal's friends and acquaintances were uninterested in religion and lived a lifestyle that seemed to mock Christian teachings. Everyone knew Hal was a Latter-day Saint, and sometimes his companions ridiculed him for his beliefs. Usually Hal ignored their teasing, but sometimes it made him feel isolated and rejected. He sometimes wondered if working so hard to keep the commandments and maintain his integrity was worth it. During his dating years, Hal dated several girls who were attractive and made him feel less isolated and rejected. When he became aware that these girls desired physical affection from him, Hal often wondered, "Am I really different from the others? Why should I keep trying to stay morally clean? It would be so easy not to." But Hal knew what the Lord expected of him. He knew that he should continue the pattern of righteousness he had established in his life. He lived the law of chastity, although it was painful when some girls seemed to lose interest in him because he maintained the Lord's standards. When Hal found a young woman who was right for him, he was worthy to marry her in the temple for eternity. Years later, Hal looked back at his early life and realized that all that made him happy, his wife, his family, the church, were his because he had maintained his standards and sought to live righteously. He thanked Heavenly Father for giving him the strength to do what was right. Now he understood what happiness could come from keeping himself morally clean. What might have happened if Hal had not remained morally clean? What blessings do we receive in this life by staying morally clean? What blessings will we receive in eternity for staying morally clean? Testimony. Explain that our bodies are temples, and the Lord has commanded us to keep these temples clean. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Doctrine and Covenants, section 133, verse 5. This includes being clean in body, mind, and spirit. Bear your testimony of the importance of staying morally clean. Urge class members to keep the Lord's standards and be morally pure and clean. Enrichment activities. You may want to use one or more of these activities during the lesson. 1. Ask the bishop to recommend a young adult whom class members can look up to. This person could be someone who has recently received a mission call or is preparing for temple marriage. Invite him or her to come to class and share his or her feelings about living a clean life and the peace and joy that come from keeping the law of chastity. Page 228. 2. If the following video segments are available, show one of them. A. Morality for Youth, a 22-minute segment of Come Unto Me, 53146. Or B. Chastity, As a Man Soweth, a 2-minute segment of Family Home Evening Video Supplement 2, 53277. 3. Discuss with class members the article You Promised by Elder M. Russell Ballard in the New Era, February 1994, pages 4 through 7. You may want to make a copy of this article for each class member to take home and study. Insert New Era, February 1974, pages 4 through 7. We live in a world awash in moral pollution, including drugs, violence, foul language, and pornography. Videotapes, films, and television promote illicit sex as normal. Debates rage to make abortion acceptable. Because of this flood of filth, some of you may not understand our Heavenly Father's plan well enough to appreciate how important living a morally clean life is if you want to enjoy peace, happiness, and self-esteem. But when you understand the truths of the gospel and commit to live them, you will gain the spiritual guidance you need to be young men and women of purity, integrity, and faith. Yes, you face difficult challenges, but remember, you do not face them alone. There are people who love you and want you to be happy, who want the very best for you. Most especially, your Father in heaven loves you and wants you to have joy and happiness. When you entered the waters of baptism, you promised you would humble yourselves before God and witness before the church that you have truly repented of all your sins and are willing to take upon yourselves the name of Jesus Christ, having a determination to serve him to the end, and truly manifest by your works that you have received of the Spirit of Christ under the remission of your sins. Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 37. Many of you were baptized when you were 8 years old. Even though you may not have realized at that time the full importance of this promise, you are still under this covenant. Your Heavenly Father has promised, in return, that He will give you marvelous blessings to those who keep His commandments and endure faithfully to the end. The Apostle Peter wrote, "That eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I remind you, young men who have been ordained to the priesthood, that you have made an additional covenant with God, a sacred promise that you would honor your priesthood faithfully. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 33 through 42. We are pleased to know that many of you are true in every way to your priesthood covenants and are preparing yourselves to receive the Lord's promised blessings. Unfortunately, we know also that too many young men of the priesthood pay little attention to the serious nature of their sacred promises made with Heavenly Father. Let me explain why you young men and women must keep your covenants you have made with God. In the premortal world, before we left the presence of Heavenly Father, He warned us about new experiences we would have in mortality. We knew we would have a physical body. Never having been mortal before, we had no experience dealing with the temptations of mortality. But Heavenly Father knew and understood. He charged us to control our mortal bodies and to make them subject to our spirits. Spiritual power over the influence of Satan comes to us by keeping the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being here on earth for the first time in our eternal existence, we are away from the protective presence of our Father in heaven and are subject to the influence of Satan and his followers. Remember that Satan even tried to tempt the Savior. After Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness to fast and pray for 40 days. Satan chose that moment during Christ's hunger and physical weakness to tempt him. But Jesus did not succumb. He stood firm. Satan will seek to tempt us at times and in ways that exploit our greatest weaknesses or destroy our strengths. But his promises of pleasure are short-lived deceptions. His evil design is to tempt us into sinning, knowing that when we sin, we begin to move away from Heavenly Father's promised blessings toward the misery in which Satan and his followers languish. By sinning, we put ourselves in Satan's power. We understand the struggles you face every day in keeping the commandments of the Lord. The battle for your souls is increasingly fierce. The adversary is strong and cunning. However, you have within your physical body the powerful spirit of a son or daughter of God. Because He loves you and wants you to come home to Him, our Father in heaven has given you a conscience that tells your spirit when you are keeping the Lord's commandments and when you are not. If you will pay more attention to your spiritual self, which is eternal, than to your mortal self, which is temporary, you can always resist the temptations of Satan and conquer his efforts to take you into his power. You must be honest with yourself and remain true to the covenant you have made with God. Do not fall into the trap of thinking you can sin a little and it will not matter. Remember, the Lord cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 31. Some young men and women in the church talk openly about sexual transgression. They seem to forget that the Lord forbids all sexual relations before marriage, including petting, sex perversion of any kind, or preoccupation with sex in thought, speech, or action. Some youth foolishly rationalize that it is no big deal to sin now because they can always repent later when they want to go to the temple or on a mission. Anyone who does that is breaking promises made to God both in the premortal life and in the waters of baptism. The idea of sinning a little is self-deception. Sin is sin. Sin weakens you spiritually, and it always places the sinner at eternal risk. Choosing to sin, even with the intent to repent, is simply turning away from God and violating covenants. Gratefully, many of you young men honor your priesthood, and many young women stand for truth and righteousness, as stated in the young women's motto. We commend you for your fidelity and integrity. For those who have strayed, the Savior has provided a way back. But it is not without pain. Repentance is not easy. It takes time, painful time. You deceive yourself if you believe you can break the promises you have made with Heavenly Father and suffer no consequence. Most of you know of an inspired pamphlet prepared for you by the First Presidency and the 12 Apostles entitled For the Strength of Youth, Salt Lake City, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, 1990. It contains guidelines to help you measure your moral conduct. I urge you to read every word over and over again so you will understand what the Lord and His church expect of you. Carry the small wallet-sized summary card with you. Read carefully the section in the pamphlet that teaches principles of sexual purity and follow the counsel with exactness. Those of you who have been unwise and have transgressed should read and pray about the section on repentance. Stake and mission presidents and bishops and branch presidents recently received instructions from the First Presidency on recommending worthy and qualified members for full-time missionary service. We expect them to follow the instructions precisely and to teach you, your leaders, and your parents these long-established principles. Missionaries must be morally clean and spiritually prepared to serve the Lord in today's world. Your leaders and your parents will do all in their power to help you avoid any sin that could disqualify you for service in the kingdom of God. I encourage you to take time each week to be by yourself, away from television and the crowd. Have your scriptures with you, and as you read, ponder and pray. Take an honest look at your life. Evaluate where you stand with the promises you have made with Heavenly Father. If you have a problem, talk it over with the Lord in earnest and humble prayer. Counsel with your parents. They will help you. Your bishop and your young men and young women adult leaders will help. They love you and want you to be at peace with yourself so you can partake of the sacrament worthily each week. When all is said and done, however, only you know if you are living true to your covenants made with God. When the day comes for you to attend the temple, you will be grateful you followed the counsel of the Lord and chose to be morally clean. May God bless each of you young men and women with a pure heart and a sincere desire to serve the Lord worthily. I know that if you will have the courage to keep your covenants and follow the counsel of your parents and church leaders, you will have the desire and the strength to live worthy lives. You then will be prepared for your responsibilities in your homes, in the church, and in your communities, and will be prepared to return to your Heavenly Father. From an address given in April 1993, General Conference. Back to text. Explain that in today's world, we are often led to believe that important expressions of affection should always be physical. However, there are many ways we can express affection or appreciation without violating the Lord's standards. Ask class members to suggest righteous and wholesome ways they can show affection or appreciation for members of the opposite sex. List responses on the chalkboard. If you feel class members need more emphasis on avoiding the evils of pornography, read or tell the story The Enemy in the Gutter by John Bythewey. New Era, March 1992, page 8. Insert, The Enemy in the Gutter. I was never involved in any fights in high school. I'm glad I wasn't. I'm not very big, and I don't find great joy in cuts and bruises. But one time I got into a fight walking home from school that lasted a few weeks. My opponent was only 11 inches tall, but this was one of the toughest battles I'd ever fought. This battle was with a magazine. My high school was within view of our front porch, so I walked to class every day. One afternoon, as I stepped across the thin ribbon of green lawn that divided the sidewalk from the road, I noticed an open magazine by the curb. I couldn't tell what it was at first, then I realized it was pornographic. I quickly lifted my eyes from the gutter and kept walking toward home. This is how the battle began. Every day as I went to school and every day as I came home, I had to face the temptation that lay in the gutter. As I think about it now, I wonder why I didn't pick up the magazine and throw it away. But I do know I didn't even want to touch it. What if someone saw me with it? Or what if my dad saw it in our garbage can? Or what if I picked it up and saw more than I wanted to see? Each day my mind could come up with some pretty good rationalization. It might be good for you to know what's in there so you'll know what's going on in the world today. Or you don't want to be a sheltered, naive little boy, do you? What's it going to hurt, anyway? Just repent later. Who's going to know? One day in seminary, our teacher pointed out that Jesus answered each of his temptations with a scripture. That sounded like a good idea. Looking through the topical guide, I found a scripture about battling temptation. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and call on His holy name, and watch and pray continually, that you may not be tempted above that which you can bear. Alma, chapter 13, verse 28. This was a formula I could use. Humble yourself, and watch and pray continually. I cross the street in a different place now, and these two scriptures help me as the days passed with the magazine still sitting there in the gutter. One afternoon, as I stepped off the curb, I noticed that the magazine was gone. I could tell by the appearance of the gutters that a street cleaner had recently passed. A street cleaner! How appropriate, I thought. God did make a way to escape, and together we won the fight. Curiosity, rationalization, and laziness are no match against courage, self-control, and mental toughness. Victory in physical battles requires strength, muscles, and skill. But the fight is never toughest, and victory is never sweeter than in the battles over self. No, I never got into any fights in high school, but with some help from the scriptures, I defeated an 11-inch magazine. End of Lesson 38. Be ye clean.